Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Morning. How y'all doing on this beautiful Sunday in March? Amazing, huh? Amazing. I'm excited. Yeah. So good morning. My name is Leo. I'm one of the pastors here at Mercy, specifically Mercy Youth's pastor. Can everybody say hi to our teens? What's up, Mercy Youth? There's those amazing people over there with the donuts and Capri Suns. Y'all know the deal. Adults, if you like a donut or Capri Sun, go get one. Just sign up on a Connect card. I would like to volunteer at Mercy Youth. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. But real quick, I want to do a special announcement. This Wednesday, every first Wednesday of the month, we have a special worship and prayer gathering in the youth room on Wednesday nights called Encounter, led by the Whitmore family. And this one invites teens and families and kids. I believe it's third grade and up, where families get to come and worship and pray together, hear from God. We had the first one last month, and it was an amazing time with God. It was a powerful, powerful time, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do this coming Wednesday, right? Yeah, good. Let's do it. So come on out Wednesday nights, first Wednesday of the month for Encounter, worship and prayer for the family. Praise God. Cool. So today we're continuing our series called Next Level, and I will be talking about prayer. I love talking about prayer. Last week, Pastor Gary kicked off the series, and he talked about next level worship, how we can take our worship to the next level. And it was a fantastic message. Today I got the privilege of talking about one of my favorite subjects ever that I end up talking about pretty much every time I speak here, prayer, and I love it. But before we get started, I want to read a couple of verses that I believe connects us to this idea of the next level. So read with me on the screens, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ. This is Paul speaking to the church. He says, I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Everybody say, press on. Press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I did not consider myself yet to taking hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Everybody say, press on. Press on. Press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul, the great apostle Paul that started all these churches, that did all these amazing work, he is saying that he keeps pressing on to this goal of being with Jesus, of seeing Jesus, of becoming like him. He keeps pressing on. There is a new level that he wants to go to. He's not settled to what he has done already, where he has been. He wants to press on. He wants to keep on going. He wants that next level. And I believe today, God has a next level for me, for you. God has a next level for Mercy, and we are called to press on towards the next level. I believe that Ephesians 2:10 says that God, that he made us all, that we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he already prepared for us to do. So he has great things in store for us, and we are called to press on to those things. We were made in his image, created in his likeness, and we are called to do great things, and he wants us to press on to the next level. I also believe that he who began a good work in you and me, he's faithful to complete it. The good work that God has begun in you, he will be faithful to complete it and to take you to that next level. That's why we're called to press on. That's why I love this series. And I believe that today, I believe that prayer prepares us for the next level. Right? We're talking about next level worship. Today we're talking about next level prayer. And I believe that prayer is preparation for the next level. Prayer is how we press on to the things of God, to the things that he has in store for us. Prayer is how we press on. Prayer prepares us for the next level. Today, if you're feeling stuck, if your heart's feeling heavy today, if you're feeling tired, discouraged, I can relate. If you got all, you know, like all these feelings, and maybe you've been coming to church for a long time and you kind of feel like it's just become mundane, kind of going through the motions of what we do, I'm calling us, there's something higher. there's something greater that the Lord wants to do. There is a next level. And this is not about performance, about like, oh, I got to be better so I can do the next level. It's not about that. But it's about pressing on to Jesus, because without him, we can't go there. It's about pressing on to Jesus because he is faithful to complete the work that he began. So no matter how you're feeling this morning here in this place, God has something for you. If your heart's heavy, if your heart's tired, if you feel like you're stuck, God wants to help us break through today in Jesus' name. Amen? That's not my message. But praise God. That's the introduction. Let's pray. Lord, we need you. God, I thank you for what you are doing right now in this place. God, I thank you that you do have a next level prepared for us. Pray, Lord, help us to press into that. Help us to press into you. Even now we say, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. How are we doing? All righty. So today, we're going to talk about prayer. We're also going to take a look at the life of Jesus and seeing how Jesus used prayer as that preparation for every single step that he took in his ministry. Right, we're going to take almost like a bird's eye view of the life of Jesus and see how prayer was always a significant part of his ministry. But before we get to Jesus, who is my ultimate favorite, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things, okay? And it's not basketball, okay? It's not basketball. I know, for those of you who know me, every time I talk about basketball, I'm not going to talk. I guess I'm talking about basketball right now, aren't I? Okay. I am not going to talk about basketball anymore. Today, I'm going to share with you guys another thing that's one of my favorite things to do ever. It's one of the most enjoyable. I think I actually may like doing this more than playing basketball. That is surfing. This is me in Jacksonville, Florida, probably like 15 years ago. I love surfing, and I think it may be more enjoyable than playing basketball. Like catching that wave, it feels better than hitting the three-pointer, maybe, right? But big difference, I am 1,000 times better at basketball than I am at surfing. look, that's me falling, right? I am not a good surfer at all, and that looks cool, but look at the people, like, behind the picture, look how shallow that water is, right? This is not impressive. That is like kiddie pool training babies how to surf level waves, right? That's where I'm at right there. That is, so I am way better at basketball than I am at surfing, but I love it, and I enjoy it so much, but there's levels to this, right? And I am not at a level that I can go any higher than those tiny little waves. And we can take me off the screen forever. Right? That way, it may look cool right now. But again, this is very shallow water. This is about 2 feet, maybe 3 feet waves at max. And the beaches of Jacksonville, Florida. This is not impressive, ladies and gentlemen. This is like the best pictures I could find. But it's bad. I am terrible at surfing. But I love it. It's so much fun. But there's levels to it. I remember one time I took a buddy out. He's a little bit younger than me. He also didn't know how to surf very well. And he was like, hey, can you take me surfing? I was like, yeah, I can take you surfing. Right? You know, like, I know how to do this. Right? So, like, we go out surfing. And at first, the waves were like this. And we were kind of trying. But then there was a swell coming in. So the waves were getting a little bit higher. There was getting, like 3 feet, kind of like my range, my limit. But next thing you know, we started seeing, like, what looked like 4 feet waves come in and 5 feet. Wait, 5 foot waves come in, and that became clear that it was out of our comfort zone, that it was out of our, like, that was the next level above what I was, you know. And we're there, and there's this thing about a wave that whenever a wave's coming, you gotta, like, start paddling, like, real, real hard to be able to catch the wave, right? And then you can also kind of bail out of the wave, where you kind of paddle and then just kind of, like, drop back, right? And then the wave just passes you by. We started just, like, letting waves pass us by, wave after wave, just kept, like, coming. We're like, not that one either, too big, you know? And next thing you know, after about 20 minutes of that, we're like, you know what? How about we just paddle in and go get ice cream or something? He's like, yeah, let's do that, right? Because it was very clear that these waves were out of our comfort zone, and there's levels to this. you and I know we got to be humble. If anybody catch that reference, right? Sometimes you got to humble yourself and know that there's things that are above your head, literally. And that's how I feel with surfing. I love it, but I was never able to put in the time, put in the practice, put in the hours to get good enough to go to the next level. And now I moved to Minnesota, so I don't need to go to the next level of surfing anymore, right? It could be a distant memory in my pictures, right, of the time that I did surf. I say that, but I still love it, right? And there's this documentary that I absolutely love, talks about surfing, that it shows the ultimate level, the max level when it comes to surfing. This is this documentary called The 100-Foot Wave. And it's the story of this little town in Nazareth, Portugal, where they have the biggest waves in the whole world consistently. I'm not going to explain to you the science, but there's like something with the trenches and the underwater currents, blah, 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 that they create like consistently every year giant waves that are like 100 feet. And this was a little fishing town that was struggling because the boats couldn't really like navigate all this stuff, right? But then they're like, you know what? Maybe people can surf this. And now it's a vibrant community. Instead of me talking, do you guys want to see the trailer? You guys want to see the trailer? Let's watch the trailer of the 100 Foot Wave documentary on HBO Max.
Nicole, you up there?
Yes. Hi.
Okay, so we're all linked up now. Everybody good?
All good.
Oh, big set. Big set. Giant.
Crazy.
There was no wave too big. It was just looking for bigger and bigger and bigger. We were a team, and we stumbled across something super special. Nazareth.
Nazareth isn't like any other big wave spot. It's a different animal.
This is where the biggest wave in the world is.
It stands up so tall.
I found what I've been looking for so many years. Need search no more.
Can't help but think, is this the last time I'm gonna see you?
The town of Nazareth, that is my family.
Is it really worth anything on the line?
You should not surf those waves.
It was like now and ever.
It's like nowhere else you've ever surfed. It's the Everest of the ocean.
Does the 100-foot wave exist? I think, yeah, it does. Is it surfable? I don't know.
There's no turning back. It's only straight ahead.
Go get it, go get it. Go, 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 go.
Ah! Woo! That is next level to the max, to the HBO Max of it. That is incredible. How do you guys feel after watching that? You feel fine, like, oh, yeah, that's normal. No, that's incredible. That is the most extreme thing you could do. I never want to do that. I want to travel to Portugal and watch, but I never want to even attempt to do that because, woo, it is crazy. It is amazing. But the documentary, I encourage you to watch the documentary because it's absolutely incredible. Even if you don't know surfing at all, they tell the stories of everyone who's participated in it, and it's fantastic. It's beautiful. And these waves are the biggest waves in the world. And there's a group of people that figure out how to take it to the next level and surf these waves. Documentary is inspiring. I want to share with you guys three things that I learned from this documentary, and I believe they can relate to us in our lives of prayer, and actually we see the same principles in the life of Jesus. Y'all with me? Can I talk about surfing just for a little bit longer? Right? These people, to surf these waves, they need to practice. It requires a lot of practice. And when watching the doc, you can see the amount of time like they put into their preparation, to their practice, to their training, to be able to sustain riding waves like that. Like, we look at their like underwater training, like surfers, they got to be able to be good swimmers, of course, and also to be able to hold the breath from the water for a long time, right? These guys, they got to take that practice up to the new level where they got to be able to stay underwater for over 5 minutes at a time. Think about that. Think about staying underwater for 5 minutes, right? They do this training called rock running where they go to the bottom of the ocean. They'll pick up boulders, right, and they'll start running with it underwater, right? So like train, like being underwater and feeling resistance of being down there, right? And now they make it to make it even harder on themselves to simulate, because like once you wipe out in one of those big waves, they're not just keeping you under, like you're getting put in like a washing machine type of situation. They pick you up, you pop back out, and then it hits you again, and it's consistently bah, bah. So now they started wrestling. They got guys holding boulders and then trainers coming in there like wrestling them underwater, flipping them so their bodies can get used to like, I am not going to panic when I'm getting pummeled by giant waves. I will pop back up for air eventually, and somebody's going to come and rescue me, right? So you got to train your body to be able to sustain this next level that you're going for. Does that make sense? So there's a lot of practice that goes into it. And then also, thankfully, very smartly, these guys, they don't do it alone. It requires teamwork. It requires teamwork. You cannot surf these waves alone. You cannot go to the next level by yourself. You need a team with you. You need a team with you, specifically for these waves, like surfing normal waves like I did, right? Like you gotta like paddle in and then you just catch the wave. These waves are too big for that. So they literally need, if you see that jet ski at the corner of the picture, that jet ski towed in the surfer who's down there looking tiny compared to the wave, right? So there's literally, it's called tow-in surfing. You need a friend on a jet ski to tow you into the wave so you actually can be able to catch it. And almost most importantly, you need a friend on a jet ski that's able to be there and rescue you once you wipe out, right? The moment anything goes wrong in those waves, you need somebody, actually a few friends with jet skis, be able to see your little head pop up so they can zoom in there, rescue you, and take you out to safety, right? So surfing these waves, you cannot do it by yourself. You need a team. In a documentary, there's this part in season one where once they figure out how to surf these waves and they get like the whole like people there surfing and they got a whole system, they got a team of people. You also need spotters like on the watchtower looking to see where people are, right? But like, so they have this whole system set up in place. And next thing you know, when word gets out that these waves are now surfable, my people, the Brazilians, show up. And my people, the Brazilians, are like, we got this. And they go like, they just skip the, like, the training meeting on how to do this. They skip the whole teamwork. They're like, nah, we got this. We're Brazilians. We can do anything. And they go out there, try to surf by themselves without the help of the team that's been there preparing the way. And literally, one of them almost dies the first day. Day one, right? And then, like, the main guy there, Garrett McNamara, he's like, if they only had come to us, we could have helped them. We got to do this thing as a team. And, it's true. You need a team. You need a team. If you want to go to the next level in surfing, I believe in life, you need a team around you, people that will help you and also people that can be there to take care of you, to rescue you. So you need a team. You need teamwork, right? And the next thing, right, thing number three that I've learned from this documentary is that you do these things. You go to the next level so you can do it for others, right? It's not just about yourself. It's about that, like, you are a pioneer. You push something this far so that the people behind you can go even further, right? You go to the next level so people can come behind you and stand on the next level and go even further. Does that make sense? And that's what we see in this documentary. The main guy is, you saw him in the video a lot, he's Garrett McNamara. He's an old school surfer from Hawaii, right? And he's a little bit older, but he's the one that went there and pioneered surfing these waves in Nazareth. And but the truth is, like, by the time that he's actually figured out how to do it, his body is like breaking down on him. He's got shoulder surgeries and things, and he can't keep up with the young people. But the young people needed a pioneer to go push through, press on to the next level so they can go and do it even better and go even further. Does that make sense? Just this past week, a new world record was broken in Nazareth, right? It was about 97 feet. If you see the guys all the way down there at the bottom of the wave, that is almost a 100-foot wave, presumably. And they're measuring, they're trying to figure out how to measure it, but they said that this is the new world record, and it was not broken by Garrett, the pioneer of this. It was broken by a Brazilian. Lucas Chumbu was broken by one of my people, right? And it's like that. Like, he broke the record, but he did it because of Garrett, because of the pioneer that went there and pushed the limits, went to the next level for him. Does that make sense? When we go to the next level, we're doing it not just for ourselves, but we're doing it so that people that are coming up behind us can go even further. And we see that a lot in this documentary. There's a time in the documentary where he's got to realize, they're like, okay, my job is not to catch the 100-foot wave anymore. My job is to help my friends do it. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment in the documentary. Transitioning to Jesus, promised you I was going to talk about Jesus. I believe that we see those same principles in the life of Jesus. We see that Jesus practiced prayer regularly. The prayer was integral, was a part of his training. And we see that the prayer always prepared Jesus for the next level. If you look, like, think about the story of, like, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right? We see him, like, he goes to get baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. It's a beautiful scene. The heavens open up. God speaks so that everyone can hear. He's like, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Like, this is my boy. Look at him. You know, like, that's the father speaking to the son. I love it, right? So, like, this beautiful moment. And then after that, it's like Jesus is baptized. He's ready to go. But the Bible says that, we can pull up the verse there is in Luke, right? That Jesus went from that place. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he fasted and prayed for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. We all know the story. If not, look it up. It's beautiful, right? But he goes from being baptized into the wilderness, into the place where he can practice prayer and fasting. In verse 14, right, we got verse 1, he says he goes to the wilderness. Verse 14, 13 verses later, he comes back from that place now full of the power of the spirits, right? And news about his spread throughout the countryside. He was teaching in synagogues and everybody praised him. So, like, after he came back from that 40 days of prayer and fasting, he was ready. He had gone to that next level. Does that make sense? But it comes from the practice of prayer, and didn't stop there. We see Jesus did that often. Jesus often, after big events and before big things, Jesus often withdrew himself to pray. We see, I think, the next verse, right? We got Luke 5, right? We see, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds and people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It's like the busier he got, he's like, nah, I need time to pray. I'm too busy not to pray right now. Like, I need to find some time to myself to pray, to recharge if I want to keep going, if I want to keep pressing on. Then we also see Jesus, I love this, before he were to choose his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, right? He literally, like, before, like, his ministry was going to go to the next level, he spent the whole night, took the whole night to pray. Spent the whole night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So we see that prayer for Jesus, he was not just a one-time thing. It was a practice, was a daily practice that he had that was integral to the training that, you know, for him to fulfill his purpose, fulfill his mission, to go to the next level. Y'all good, Mercy Youth? Yay. Cool. Prayer, Jesus practiced prayer. And again, prayer prepares the way for the next level. Right? We see that Jesus practiced that. We also see that Jesus had a team. Right, I believe that Jesus, fully God, fully man, could have absolutely done everything that he did by himself. You know, he could have done it in many ways, but he chose to have a team around him. He chose to get some of the misfits, some of the weirdest dudes in the Bible to travel with for a few years, right, to be there with them, teaching them, training them, and also to have company. He chose to do that. He didn't have to, but he chose to. But he wanted to have that team with them, right? And we see that Jesus, right, with his team, like, there's a couple moments in prayer that I love about Jesus. There's one time that he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you guys remember that story? Right, Jesus goes up on a mountain, and he brings Peter, James, and John to go with them. And in that mountain, right, they're there to pray. Next thing you know, like, the glory of God shows up, and his face lights up, and his clothes become so bright. I believe I have the verse over there. Right, boom. You know, and it's just an amazing time. This is like the highest of highs, right? And Jesus has friends there with them. He has a team there with them to experience that. And then we also see on the other side, we see Jesus in the garden before he was arrested, right? This is like at the hardest of hardest moments. When he's under pressure, when he knows things are about to go down, and he's feeling it, and he wants friends to be there with them in that place of prayer. He invites his friends to come and pray with me. And then we see there, like, he returned and found the disciples sleeping, and he says, could he keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, you know, watch and pray so that you would not fall into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see Jesus at his hardest moments. He's like, he wants his friends to be with them, and those dudes just fell asleep. Bummer. It's in a book forever now. But there's something about Jesus that, like, He made himself so vulnerable that he would need a team. And he would want people there to pray with him and pray for him. He didn't do it by himself. He always had a team with them, even when it comes to prayer. Right? Then we see that Jesus, everything that he did for others. I mean, his whole life, right? His whole life was a living sacrifice. Literally, he lived his life for the sake of others. Everything that he did was so that we would have redemption, so that we would have a new life. We see that. We see that Jesus, he often prayed for his disciples. We see that Jesus taught them how to pray. And we see that through that, like, the disciples were there. They saw the whole process of prayer with Jesus. And we see that through that, Jesus, like, empowered them to go and take it to the next level. Yet very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So Jesus was a pioneer in a way. He was like, hey, these waves that I'm surfing, you guys are going to go even higher. You're going to do even greater works than me. And now we get this testimony, right? Like, of course, none of them, like, died on a cross for our sins. So Jesus still wins, right? He's still the ultimate champion, forever undefeated. But these guys, this group of people that Jesus started off with, they went on to change the world. They will go from there to, like, to Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth, to the point where you got, like, a church here in Minneapolis and a Brazilian speaking to you because those guys changed the world because they took it to the next level. Does that make sense? The work that Jesus began in them, he was faithful to complete it. Look at us now. Look what's happening right now. It's because they did greater works. They took what Jesus did and they took it to the next level. And we see that even that, if you, we don't have time, but if you were to study the life of the early church, it was always fueled by prayer. We see Acts chapter 2, before the Holy Spirit shows up, right, before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up and empowers them to speak different languages and do all the amazing stuff. We see that they were together praying, just like Jesus taught them to. Right, we see in Acts chapter 4, whenever, you know, Peter and John get arrested and there's, like, all this turmoil and there's threats being made and they are afraid and, like, there's a real chance that the movement can end right there. We see that, like, hey, call a prayer meeting. Let's get everybody together in a room. And they start praying, asking God for courage, asking God for boldness. And next thing you know, the room shakes and they get out of there just, like, next leveled up, right? And they go on and change the world. We see that throughout history. We see that, like, prayer always prepares his people for the next level. And I believe that the same is true for us today. I believe the same is true for me and you. The same is true for Mercy. I believe that God is calling us to a next level. He's not, like, even though we may feel stuck and we may be comfortable where you're at, God's not. He has greater things for us. There's greater things yet to be done in the city, if you remember the song. God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. And I believe that he's calling us, his people, his church, to the place of prayer. Because prayer is preparation for the next level. Am I making sense? Yeah. I believe that he loves us. This is not a do better, try harder series, but the sermon or series. But this is a call for us to press into Jesus. To forget what's behind. And press into Jesus. Again, I want to say it again, like just like I said in the beginning. If you're feeling stuck today, if you're feeling life has been heavy, if you feel like maybe you lost some of the fire that you had in the beginning, you lost some of the excitement. It's real. It happens. It's natural. But it's not okay just to be there. God is calling us higher. There's greater things that God wants to do. There's a next level that he's calling us to. I believe that today, the word for today is press on. Press on through prayer. I'm going to give us our next steps right now in worship team. You can start coming up and getting ready if you want. But from these things that we learn from the documentary, from these things that we see in the life of Jesus, I believe that we can implement them in ourselves. One of our next steps for today is to pick one of these and you can put it in your connect card. Practice teamwork and doing it for others. How can you implement those things into your life? I can't tell you what the correct answer is for you, but I can tell you what's been working for me. my life. You know, I've been a pastor here at Mercy for almost 8 years now. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I've been in some type of ministry for almost 20. And there's times where I could feel a little stuck. I could feel a little bit tired. And so I've been seeing a spiritual director, along with counseling, along with, you know, other things to kind of help me, like, all right, Mike, what's my next steps? What's the next level for me? And one thing that my spiritual director has been doing is praying this very old prayer that's kind of new to me, the prayer of examine. And I'm just going to give it to you. If it helps you, great. If not, it's what I'm doing, right? So you can see what works for you. But the prayer of examine, it's a prayer that you do at nights where you'll be still and you invite the Lord's presence. You give thanks for the day and you remember the moments, right? Reflect on all the interactions that you had. And you pray that God will help you. And then you put your hope in God for the next day. Love on Pete Gregg and the 24/7 prayer. They have a easier way to remember this for me. At least it helps me. It's 4 R's. Is review, rejoice, repent, and renew. You review your day. You rejoice of the good things. You repent of all the times you fell short. And then you restart. Right, you reboot the system. Just like a computer, if it's running slow, you got to unplug it and plug it back in. Right, any tech king, that's how you fix stuff. You turn it off and turn it back on again. That's the prayer of examine. That's how the Lord has helped. That's what I'm practicing right now to help me to go to our next level. Teamwork. I'll say this quickly. I know that I can't do life by myself. A couple years ago, I met with another pastor that's been doing ministry for way longer than me, and he said that he has a team of people that, like, they have a specific day of the month where they text each other to prayer requests. And he said, I have one person, like, this is day 3. I know this person's praying for me, and I'm praying for that person. And we text each other every morning and say, like, this is how you can pray for me this month, right? And he has pretty much his calendar full almost 2 times over. I got about, like, 5 or 6 people from all over the country. I know that on the 7th, I'm going to be praying for my buddy Sean Kelly in Jacksonville, Florida, that has started off in ministry with, right? He's going to text me. I'm going to text him. We're going to call each other, and we're going to pray for each other. And I got a few people, faithful friends from around the world that I get to stay in touch with because of that. But I also know that I'm not alone. There's people that are praying for me, and I'm praying for somebody else. So get a team around you, whatever that looks like for you in this season. And then last but not least, again, we do this for others. We do this to make a difference in the life of others. We go to the next level to help other people. And I want to encourage us as a church to pray for each other, to pray for one another, to go to the next level in that. Where we will be here at Mercy, we will be prayer people who pray for people. There will be people of prayer who take time intentionally to pray for each other. The Vineyard, we have this 5-step prayer model that I'm going to put up there. We're actually going to have a training in the 5-step prayer model today and every first Sunday of the month because we want to get as many of you trained in this prayer model as possible so that we could be of people of prayer who pray for people. That we, when somebody shares something with us, when somebody shares a prayer request, we just don't say, oh, I'll pray for you. We say, yes, I will pray for you right now. Can I pray for you, please? That we don't keep prayer as something that we say, but we make prayer something that we do. So the prayer training, I believe, is for everyone. Our prayer teams, we need more people to lay hands and pray for people after service. The prayer motto is this. You ask, how can I pray for you? You invite the Holy Spirit. You pray for the person. You check in to see how they're doing. Then you bless them at the end. There'll be a prayer training today if you want to take a part of it on every first Sunday of the month. And we do this for other people. We go to the next level to be a blessing to bless. Yes, we go to the next level for the sake of others too. Does that make sense? So let's stand. So our next steps for today. Figure out your practice of prayer that you want to try. Find a team to pray with you and pray for others. Do it for others. Worship team is going to lead us in a time of worship. And I want to just, if you're a prayer leader right now to pray for people, I want to encourage you to go right now. And I'm going to pray specifically today if you are feeling stuck and tired, if you're going through it and you need breakthrough, you need that press on moments with Jesus, I want to pray for you today. I want us to pray for that today. So we're going to have our prayer team on both sides doing this last worship song. I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, come up, come find them. Let's do this thing. He who began a good work in you mercy is faithful to complete it. He sees you. He knows you. He knows where you're at today. He knows where you're at even now. He wants to meet you in this place. He wants to help you press on to the next level. So come, Holy Spirit.